Well, this morning I want to finish up our sermon series on tradition. We've been talking about tradition and the great tragedy of the modern world in which tradition's been rejected. This tradition that has served humanity and maintained Western civilization for thousands of years, suddenly within just a matter of decades has been rejected and tradition has fallen by the wayside, and we see the world around us, what we're dealing with if we do not have this tradition. And we said that people of tradition acknowledge one thing that sets them apart from people of modernity is that people of tradition seek transcendence. They acknowledge transcendence, that there is a God who is beyond us, we do not fully understand, who is a mystery, but yet we seek his face and we seek to follow his ways. People of tradition seek out God, their ethical foundation, their worldview, the structure of their family life, of their communities. People of tradition always centered that around the transcendent God who had revealed himself in Jesus Christ. This morning, on this All Saints Day, I wanted to acknowledge the importance of the saints who came before us in upholding the tradition. And as we said earlier, the saints are not just the great saints that we remember from the Bible and from Christian history, but the New Testament tells us that the saints are all of those who believe, all of those who trust in Christ. So we count ourselves among the saints. So I want to recognize the importance of saints who have come before us in the tradition and how they have passed that on to us, and then our responsibility to pass that tradition of Jesus Christ on to the next. And it's a huge responsibility, and something that we should not take lightly, something that we should pass on to our families, to our children, and that we should proclaim where we get the opportunity in various circles in our life. But you know, saints come in all different sizes, and we'll talk about that today, all different shapes and sizes. And I couldn't pass up the opportunity this morning to resurrect an old story about a saint who was 90 years old, and Mary will appreciate this. She was a Mother Superior in Ireland, and she was dying, 98. And the nuns gathered around her bed, and they were trying to make her last journey very comfortable for her. And they gave her some warm milk to drink, but she refused it. So one of the nuns took the glass back to the kitchen, and remembering a bottle of Irish whiskey that was they had received the previous Christmas, she opened and she poured a little bit in the milk for Mother Superior. And she went back to Mother Superior's bed, and this Mother Superior held the glass to her lips, and she drank a little bit, and then she drank a little more. And before she knew it, she had drunk the whole glass of milk. And then the nun said, "Mother, please give us some wisdom before you die." And she raised herself up in bed, and with a pious look on her face, she said, "Whatever you do, don't sell that cow." So, that one never gets old. On All Saints Day, as I said, we honor the great saints of the Bible throughout Christian history. You know, we hear of people like St. Peter and St. Paul, St. Agnes, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa. These are ones who gave up everything, who lost everything for the sake of Christ. They gave up their fortunes, they gave up their reputations. Many lost their lives at the hands of executioners or at angry mobs. And so we honor their faithfulness and their obedience. So they're one reason why we are here today. But All Saints Day in recent years has also become known as All Souls Day, because more and more churches are recognizing the everyday saints. It might be your father or your mother or a grandparent or a teacher or a mentor, a neighbor, someone along the way who influenced your life for Christ. And some of those names we heard mentioned here this morning as we were remembering the saints. They made a difference in your life. Maybe it was a seemingly little sacrifice in the scheme of the larger world, but for you, it meant everything. And so we want to honor those souls today, those saints as well. But also, I think it's important on All Saints Day to also be mindful of something we might call All Sinners Day, or the All Not Yet Saints day. There are those who in our life that we could say are lost in the world, just as Zacchaeus was lost. They are lost in sin. They're confused. They haven't found their way yet. We might call them the future saints. And on a day like this, those loved ones in our life who are lost, who are hurting, who have not yet found their way to Christ, we pray that at some point they will cry out as we did, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And there are examples of sinners or not yet saints who have given their lives over to Christ, who, in spite of their terrible past, in spite of the decisions that they've made for the ill of themselves and their families and friends, and yet they made a life for themselves in Christ. Many of us, all of us, count ourselves in that circle who have come to Christ because, as Paul says, our righteousness is as filthy rags. As good as we ever were, it was nothing in the light and the truth and the beauty of this transcendent God who we worship. So there were those who became saints rather than choosing to remain in the life of sin. There was Matthew, the tax collector, who Jesus came upon. He was hated by everybody, but yet his life changed after meeting Christ. There was St. Augustine, the pleasure seeker, who had a concubine and who stole just for fun, and he converted to Christianity and became a bishop and a great theologian for the church. There was the prostitute in the Gospels whose heart and lifestyle changed when she discovered Jesus, and her life was forever changed. These were those sinners, those not yet saints, who became saints when they encountered the light of God in their otherwise dark lives. So we should also acknowledge and understand that Christ, and this is important for all of us to remember, Christ did not come to call saints. He came to make them. He didn't look for the saintly people and say, "Come with me." He went to the broken people and said, "Let me make you a saint. Let me make you one who is set apart." And that's what saint means. Saint means holy, and holy means to be set apart. So the saints, in effect, are those who are set apart from the world. A Christian is someone who is set apart, the scriptures tell us, for God's work. That's what we're set apart for. And that would be all of us. Paul says in Ephesians 4:12 that spiritual gifts are given to all of us to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So we are called to live apart from the corruption of the world. And this is especially important in our day of decadence and degeneracy that we've spoken of in recent weeks. We are to be set apart from the world. We are not to take our worldview and our instruction from the most popular sitcom that's on television at the moment. But unfortunately, more and more people in the population are getting their ethics, their moral foundation, their tradition from television sitcoms, whatever morality those are teaching. But that's not the morality of the transcendent God. That morality is found in the history of the church, in the scriptures, and in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that brings us to old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, the tax collector, who, like the aforementioned Matthew, was hated by everyone in his community because of the brutal treatment that he showed toward his neighbors. Because in that time, a tax collector for the Roman Empire, his task was to collect the tribute that Rome had set up for each person. But then the tax collector, whatever else he could wring out of a person, that was his cut. So he would get what he could that Rome demanded, and then whatever else he could extract from that person, he would take from them with threats and so on. And so Zacchaeus was a very unpopular man. He was a hated man, but he was also a man who was not happy with himself. He knew what he was about. He knew what he was doing. He knew what his life meant for others and the impact it was having. And one day he heard Jesus Christ was coming to town, and Jesus by this time had gained a following or some notoriety. And so as he would come into a village, crowds would begin to appear to listen to this Jesus and perhaps witness a miracle or some kind of healing. And when Jesus came into town that day, Zacchaeus, who we're told was a man of short stature, and I think that's a play on words. He was maybe a short man, but he was also short in the eyes of the community. He was lacking. He was not well loved, and he was lacking spiritually and morally as well. So in order to see Jesus, the story tells us, he had to climb a tree, and so he climbs up the old sycamore tree, as the song goes. And as Jesus passes by, he senses that Zacchaeus is in his presence, and he looks up, and as the song goes, he says, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today." And he goes to the house of Zacchaeus, and he has a meal with him, and he begins to hear Zacchaeus speak about his life. And Zacchaeus becomes convicted of his sin. And at that moment, the story tells us in the gospel, at that moment in the gospel of Luke, we're told that Zacchaeus' life changed. And he said, "I am the," if you look at the Greek in that passage in Luke, when it says that he was repaying fourfold, it said it was happening at that moment. So in his heart, and perhaps he was already getting the change out, and the coins out, and he said, I am paying back now in fourfold those who I have cheated. So it wasn't something that he had an inkling that there was something wrong in his life, and he said, "Well, I'm going to get around to paying those people back." In that moment, as Jesus sat with him, he was counting the coins in order to pay back those four times more than what he had taken from them. So you see, a few things we should know about saints before we close today is saints are not... Christ does not call saints, as we said. Christ makes saints. And so we who are not, those among us who are not yet saints, who have not given their lives over to Christ, Christ comes to make all of us his disciples. He wants all of us to come into the presence of this transcendent God that we have acknowledged in tradition for thousands of years, and to acknowledge there is something wonderful and beautiful and awesome and mysterious about this existence that we have on earth. And I desire to follow that light. And that light comes to us through the teachings of Jesus Christ. Another thing we should recognize, and this is in the New Testament, is that saints are exclusively, except for one instance in the New Testament, referred to in the plural. So saints are part of a community. Once we come into life in Christ, we're no longer alone in the world. We're no longer separated. We're no longer fragments in this messed up modern world where we're all separated and we're all in our own little alienated selves. We become part of a community. We form a family, the family of God. And so saints are now worked together in a life of a family in Christ. So you're guaranteed never to be alone again in a life with Jesus Christ. And also, this designation of saints includes those who are alive and those who are dead. And we recognize that today. That veil between the living and the dead, the scriptures tell us, is so thin. In fact, the image is used of the clouds moving apart, and there is the presence of the transcendent God, or the glory of the transcendent God. We're always in his presence, but the glory of the transcendent God, and we're just a hair's breadth away from that glory, which means we're just a hair's breadth away from the saints who've gone before us. We're all worshiping together every Sunday. We're all walking in the faith every day of our lives. The saints pray to the Lord as we pray to the Lord. The saints gather around the throne of God to give praise as we give praise in worship. So we are part, there is a cloud of witnesses, the book of Hebrews tells us, of saints who have gone before us, but yet who aren't too far away. They're very much among us as we worship this morning. In fact, in Matthew 27, verse 52, when Jesus dies upon the cross, it says, when Jesus died upon the cross, the ground shook, and it says, the tombs all were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. That image there of the saints being those who are not only living, but those who have died. And we read in the book of Revelation of the saints who gather around the throne, praising God. So the saints who have gone before us, they worship with us and they pray with us. And when we participate in Holy Communion, as we will today, we worship and we feast with those that we cannot see. And the candles that we lit this morning are a reminder that as we join in the feast of Holy Communion this morning, that the saints who have gone before us are joining the feast with us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? And a beautiful reality. So as Christians, we're set apart for good works. That's what Paul tells us. And that's what Christ shows us in this story of Zacchaeus. Christ comes to change our life, not for just our own benefit, that we can be fulfilled or have self-actualization or whatever you want to call it, but so that we can become holy. And what holy means is to be set apart. And what are we set apart for? The scriptures tell us for good works. And Zacchaeus immediately got into his good works. He began repaying those whom he had cheated. He became one who gave instead of took from the world. And so as we remember the saints who've gone before us, but we also remember our own responsibility as saints, ones who have been called, or ones who have been made into saints from our sinful lives, we remember today that our calling is to do good works in the name of Jesus. What are your good works? What are you offering up to Christ with your life, day in and day out? That is the calling upon our lives, to be engaged in those good works with the not yet saints around us, leading them to Christ and being a light to them, being a light to our children, to our grandchildren, just as the saints in our lives were lights and anchors and strong guides for us. Let's pray together. Father, it's good to be reminded this morning of the great tradition of saints who have come before us, and through the laying on of hands, connect us with the very Jesus and those early disciples and apostles who walked this earth over 2,000 years ago, for those martyrs who died at the fiery stake, who were hanged, who were executed, who gave up their fortunes and their fame and their reputations, all that they had, that we might know the grace and the true message of the gospel of your Son, Jesus. We give thanks this morning for all the souls, the mentors, the parents, the grandparents, the uncles and aunts, the neighbors, the teachers, the pastors, the Sunday school teachers, all of those who may have had an impact in our lives. We give thanks for them this morning. And as we move into the Feast of Holy Communion, we are mindful this morning that they feast with us, those saints who have passed beyond, as they worship at your very throne this morning. And for all of these things, we give thanks and praise, and we give all the glory to you. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.